Welcome to Undercard Supercast number Champ Bailey. I'm your host, founder, editor, and Saints Row enthusiast of Undercard Superstar, Luke Irwin. Making his triumphant return to the show, a conquering hero, not a jiu-jitsu ace, maybe more of a jiu-jitsu three of clubs, a man who hates Americana as more than just the Offspring's worst album, Ben Cohn. Secondly, the man behind the 13 Days of Bendo, and hopefully for his next installment, he'll pick an interesting fighter, Connor Dillon. Nextly, the new kid on the block, but not nearly as cool as even Joey McIntyre, Earl Montclair. Moving over one, rumor has it he invented the porterhouse steak after killing a cow by throwing another cow at it, Josh Hall. And lastly, he was the inspiration for Mick Foley's Kane Dewey promo in ECW, Nolan Howell. Ben, before we go, I want you to talk a little bit about your achievement over the weekend. You have about 3 minutes to gush before I cut you off immediately and we go right into the topics.
All right. I mean, I'm really actually not very happy with the way I performed. I rewatched my matches, and I don't know how much – I don't know about combat experience, and I don't know whether even the count is in combat, but you kind of got onto the mats, and I'm legitimately scared. Like, you don't want to get hurt. In the first match I ever competed in, I got hurt. So ever since then, it's been like I just don't want to get hurt.
So you're a point fighter.
I admit 100%. I stalled a little bit in the first match. I just – and also, like, when you're in the – you know, the training room, you're not worried about points. You're not worried about the time limit. You're just trying to become better, but you have to be careful not to let your opponent score points at the same time attack him. So, you know, I played it conservatively, I won't lie. And in the match
that
I
have to win.
Yeah, and in the match that I won, that I lost, I had no pressure. I already won my division, and now I was just doing it for fun, like the absolute. The guy was bigger than me. It was just for fun, and I went for it. Were some wild scrambles, which was great. That was actually my favorite match because I just let loose and I lost, and I'm okay with it. But I'm more happy with my loss than I am with my wins. So, yeah, that's really the most I have to say.
On behalf of all of us, Ben, you've let us all down.
And you guys want to see the shiny gold medal?
No, and your future on this podcast is tenuous at best.
I'm disappointed he's not wearing the gi.
Really. It's in the wash right now, actually.
Your career's in the wash. All right, let's get down to brass and tacks of it. Dateline, Goiânia, Brazil. It looks like the Wheel of Belfort has finally stopped spinning. VRT seems to have found a worthy opponent, and that would be in the form of Dan Henderson.
VRT.
The pair first clashed at Pride 32 in 2006. After damn near a month of speculation, Ben, was this worth it, and how do you see this fight going?
I mean, the fight in Pride was just kind of meh. But with Belfort, you know, seeming rejuvenated with his recent career resurgence.
It is in Brazil. What a coincidence.
What a coincidence. Dot.
He may not have the most stringent testing.
Well, that also means that Hendo won't. So we're going to have the TRT clash of the Titans, if you will. So, I mean, it'll be more fun. Henderson's become way more of a brawler than he was in Pride. And Vitor is more willing, seems to be not afraid of striking anymore like he was in Pride. So I actually am looking forward to this fight. I think it'll be a fun brawl. We'll see if Vitor can be the first one to put Hendo down. No. And we'll see if Hendo can knock out Vitor and end the young dinosaur's career resurgence.
Connor?
Man, I am disappointed. What can I say? I don't think this will be a very fun rematch to watch, honestly. Well, I mean, despite all the TRT and testosterone oozing throughout the octagon,
it's going to stain the mat.
You're a Debbie Downer, you know that?
It's going to be worse than the blood.
You're a Debbie Downer.
Like, I'm just not really interested. I feel like VRT is going to, you know, land just a bunch of leg kicks and destroy Hendo's knee and then knock him out. And I don't really care to watch that. In Brazil, of all places, because we know Vitor is never going to get a title shot in America. So I'm disappointed. I'll just say that.
The Earl of Montclair, are you also disappointed?
Earl of Montclair, where are you?
We're going to go back to Earl as it seems his mic is out at the moment. Josh?
I'm not disappointed, actually. I don't mind seeing this rematch because these guys are two totally different fighters now. And if Vitor is only going to pick his fights and do it in Brazil, then you might as well put him in there with somebody else who can let their TRT flow to and let the fighter fall where they may, whichever one it may be. Because I think that Vitor is going to come looking for the finish, and that will open up Henderson's options for the finish. So I think this actually could be a really interesting fight.
Earl?
I would say that it's not that I'm mad, but I am disappointed in this fight. I really don't give a shit about Vitor's fights until he fights out of Brazil. I think it's a scam and it's a joke that he's fighting there. And, you know, when no even halfway respectable AC will license him for a TUE with his past steroid conviction, I just think, to me, he's irrelevant. There's no real reason to care.
As someone who would want every fight to be 5 rounds with title fights at 7 rounds like I do, I have no interest in seeing this as a 5-round fight. I really don't. I don't want to see either of these guys go past the third. Henderson's not going to get knocked out. He's superhuman. It's the irresistible force against the immovable object. Vitor will try and try, and all he'll do is just kind of batter Hendo around while Hendo looks for a right hand that he's never going to be able to land. I am a little bit disappointed with this. I'm glad that Dan Henderson's getting a big fight because I'm a big Dan Henderson guy. And in Brazil, this should draw well. It'll make for a good name on the poster, but the fight itself I don't think is going to be anything too special. If it's 5 rounds, I see it going 50-45 Belfort. If it's 3, I see it going 30-27. And like I said, it takes a whole hell of a lot for me to not want a 5-round fight, but this does not interest me in the least going 5. I'd rather they give it to someone else interesting that'd be fighting on that card. Bantamweights, maybe. Mayday McDonald and Faber going 5. Yes. Nolan?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, there are a lot more interesting matchups for Vitor out there, but he's playing his own matchmaker now, and you know, he runs Brazil pretty much at this point. Whatever, pretty much. I mean, it could be fun, but at the same time, he is now Karate Vitor, where he's going to pick his spots. And if he lands a spinning hook kick to Hendo's chin, it'll be nice to see if he can finally crack that thing. But, yeah, 5 rounds? No. Don't want that.
Is anybody giving Henderson a chance here?
Yeah.
No.
I honestly think he can repeat his Pride performance if he wants to. Vitor's wrestling is not good.
He looked terrible in his last fight, Hendo did, but he was off TRT. A nice fresh dose of TRT, and you might see a little different Hendo in
I don't
there.
Think he looked terrible. In
his to last the fight. Gills.
To the gills.
Hendo can't
Brazil
bend over
rules.
And touch his toes. He can't even run anymore because his fucking
running's overrated in the octagon.
Vitor, listen.
Not Hendo unless you're fighting Nick Diaz.
Hendo can still run.
Caleb Starnes.
1, 2, and 5.
Never.
No.
Josh, right. you gotta be that guy.
Dateline.
I'm mocking that guy.
Dateline Deutschland. At a press conference for EA UFC, UFC executive Gary Cook, who's in charge of many things Europe-related, claimed that 6 countries would get UFC events next year. In addition to Germany, England, Sweden, Ireland, Poland, and Turkey, the latter two being new markets, will get their countries graced by the Ultimate Fighting Championship. Ben, your thoughts on going into new European markets?
Well, as a Jew, you know I'm a big fan of Germany and Poland.
Well, certainly.
So, you know, we've got some great history. Anyway, no, it's great. The more we expand, the more the sport expands, the better it is for the sport as a whole. And the more, and when I say the sport, I mean the UFC. At this point, the only organization that truly matters in the global sense is the UFC. The Bellator is nice as a B-League, sort of. But, I mean, there's really, when you think of MMA, really, who do you think of? You think of the UFC. So the more the UFC... Stuck to it now. What? And the more the UFC expands, the more markets that open up, you get more things. You can get more countries going in. We could, let's say, imagine if we have a European version of ONE FC. You know, that'd be awesome.
We do. It's called KSW.
Like I said, imagine we had something like ONE FC in Europe. That's not, you know, like
Mehmet Khalidov, son.
And the Pooj. Don't forget about the Pooj. The Pooj. All the credibility there. The
turning purple as we
the
speak.
The Pooj should definitely have the Super Haluk Championship. There's, that's one person who should have it. But yeah, I'm really happy to hear that they're expanding into European countries, and it can bring out a lot more fighters. Imagine more guys like Conor McGregor coming in and Gunnar Nelson. Wait. Yeah, Gunnar Nelson. I
will not have, will not have his European home fight. Country. Be wrecking, be on the list.
So yeah,
Connor, you're probably buying. You're probably buying your plane ticket to go see McGregor fight in Ireland as we speak. Are you in favor of European vacation?
I was actually looking at potentially going on a honeymoon to Ireland. So if anyone wants to foot the bill for that, I'm down for it. But yeah, no, I'm really excited for the European. For European and international expansion. Turkey, I think, will be a really interesting market to see if they can pick up a lot of the wrestlers. And I don't know how well too developed MMA as a whole is, but they're probably going to wind up hitting it in Istanbul, which is always a good big sporting city. If they don't, I'm not sure where they would go in Turkey. Poland, with KSW laying the groundwork, I'm really interested to see how they draw there. Germany depends on how many of the boxing, kickboxing and like judo people kind of say we don't want you here.
They probably want to keep Struve out of Germany again, so it doesn't.
Yeah,
doesn't
Struve have a may be done. He's got.
I know that. That was bomb. But look, well, like I said last night, it's very, very, very good that they actually found that in time, because a lot of times you don't find out someone has an enlarged heart unless it's too late.
How did they find it? I wasn't
Hank Gathers.
Hank Gathers, yeah. How did they find? I don't.
He was doing medical checkups. They did a. They had. I can't remember if it was MRI or an X-ray or something of his chest, or like you know.
Might have been an EKG or something of the sort.
Yeah, it was something. It was something because he had gone into the doctors for his broken jaw, and they just gave him like a full check over, and they found that. It was honestly a stroke of luck. I'm not lying.
I love Struve. I love watching him fight. He's one of my favorites on the planet. But, man, to be 6'10", 6'11", and to have an enlarged heart and to be so young and you're, you know, you're a professional athlete, you know, man, better safe than sorry, because that could have gone really bad very shortly. All right, back on track. Earl.
I think it's great that that they're going to expand into Europe a lot more with wrestling kind of being on the fence in the Olympics, and that may or may not survive. It offers a lot more opportunity to those wrestlers to have the product come around, get more exposure, and I think for selfish reasons it makes less Vegas crowds, and I don't have to put up with their annoying bullshit that they pull at every single fight card. They're flat out embarrassing. So the more we can spread the crowds around and get more people involved, the better.
Sweden is a fantastic audience. They've had two cards there, and they've been magnificent both times.
Well, so is Brazil, if you think about it.
It's touch and go, man. It's hit or miss with Brazil. There's been some great crowds. There's been some Josh.
I mean, the more global expansion, the better. I think it's great that they're and they're going into a really diverse market. It's not like they're just going to a couple of places that are very similar. Going to Turkey, going to Poland. And if they're going to Poland, please sign Khalidov.
Yes.
Because
Khalidov.
Khalidov.
Say it right.
Well, at least I acknowledge that the man needed to be signed, unlike you, Benjamin.
Oh, he needs to be signed. I'm just not acknowledging that he called KSW the one FC of Europe.
There are a lot of good Polish fighters on KSW. Besides Khalidov, who's obviously the best, there's also Thomas Duval, Michael Maturla, Marcin Held. Well,
Marcin Held also fought in Bellator, though.
Yeah, but is Taekwon Zhang a good fighter, or is he just being held around for the Chinese market?
Yes.
Saying you can pick up, you can look at a number of the Japanese fighters, AJ Ishikawa. You know, is he UFC caliber? No. But it's when you go to foreign markets, it's how can you draw? You need to put names on there that the locals will come to see.
Do you think they can get Mamir Khalidov?
The fact that neither Bellator or UFC has been able to thus far leads me to believe that he must have some real kind of M1 sweetheart deal with KSW.
But I think the fact that they're going to Poland might indicate that they might be working in that direction, because that's for that location, if you have him, you know you have a big event.
I mean, with the exception of maybe Aoki, you know, we're looking at the biggest or the best, you know, fighter not signed to UFC or Bellator in the world. I mean, the fact that they haven't really been able to open talks has been a little disconcerting, the fact that what he might have. Ireland, of course, they have McGregor. Last time they went to Ireland, there was a bout between an American and a Japanese fighter, so it'd be good to have somebody on the card to push. England, of course, good to be back there. You know, that's always a good crowd. Poland, we've discussed. Sweden's a great crowd. Germany can be a good crowd. They actually – Germany – well, Germany is a good combat sports town. Germany packs stadiums to watch the Klitschko's fight.
They pack – you know what else they do? They pack small arenas for chess boxing, okay? Chess boxing.
Like, the market is there, and, you know, the crap that came before it. Turkey is something, though, where I admire the UFC's gumption, but I don't know. I mean, hopefully this will have the effect that going to UFC Rio had on Brazil, where, MMA explodes in the scene. But unless they're going to teach Gokhan Saki some takedowns, I'm not sure what you can use in Turkey as a drawing point or even as someone as an established local fighter.
Could you imagine putting Gita and Saki together and in an MMA fight, just see what happens? Give them those little gloves and just see what happens.
Someone's head might actually pop off.
See who's the one to shoot. See who's the one to shoot for the takedown.
Nolan?
It'd be funny.
For selfish reasons, it's good because I like that early MMA where you can watch a card at like lunchtime and then have the rest of your night free. But for the UFC standpoint, it's good. I mean, like you said, Turkey's a little bit – it's a jump, but you can't make a splash unless you jump in. So England, Germany – all that stuff's already been done. Ireland's usually they seem like they'd be rabid now that they have the second coming of Jesus Christ fighting in the octagon. And, good all around.
It's been brought to my attention that I said Germany is a great combat sports town. I apologize profusely to any and all German residents who may have been offended by that statement. It's a diverse and culturally fantastic country. Some of my best friends are German. I didn't mean to offend anybody.
But most of all, you'd like to apologize to your
the
lovely
small
wife.
Town of Germany.
Mom and pop town on your way. It's a flyover town.
New Braunfels? Oh, sorry. No, I wasn't supposed
to. do you know what place was not mentioned on the UFC event tour for 2014? Pennsylvania!
Can't imagine why.
Don't worry, guys. Houston will get 18 more cards in the next year.
We've only had this will be the third one ever. So I
feel
get
like
them,
New York
Vegas.
Will get a card before Pennsylvania will.
Luke, where's the city of Pennsylvania located?
And coming in with a kill shot.
And Ben, once again, no sympathy. You get to see Petrosian 20 minutes from your home.
Yeah, honestly, that was fantastic.
Giorgio's coming to Glory 12 in New York.
Really?
I know.
Yeah. So
I might just buy tickets just to piss off Luke.
Like I don't know where to find you. You live in the biggest city in the world. Like, where's New York? Trust me, I can ask around.
Yeah, there are like 10 million people here.
You know where Ben
Cohn
lives?
Sure.
He's a Jew in New York. There's only like three of them.
Ben, I have a very specialized set of skills.
But yes, none of them. In...
Okay, Liam Neeson.
Let's get away from the country of New York.
Your skills, though, have all to do with drinking and nothing to do with finding people.
It's New York. There's a few bars I could hit. Those guys
don't like beer. I don't go to bars.
It's like Beer Fest, okay? He just gets drunk and he can find people.
Get drunk and find secret passages.
And he's going to yell.
Another place where Connor was discussing in the chat section is Scotland. Now, actually, I have roots in Scotland. I'm half Scottish. I would absolutely love that. But Scotland has dick to offer in the way of credible fighters, with the exception of Joanne Calderwood, but the UFC does not have a 115-pound women's division. So until Scotland can pump out a couple of half-decent locals, I mean, Finland, Sweden, Norway, Iceland has come out with fighters that are UFC caliber. Scotland's not anywhere near that, so as much as I'd love that, we're still a little bit of a ways away. Switching topics, Dateline, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Who's ready for some more hot Bellator contract negotiation talk? Barely a week out of solving the Eddie Alvarez quagmire, giggity, now we have Ben Askren on deck. Bjorn Redney said he's not going to send an offer, but just may take a look at what the UFC could offer Askren. Maybe if it's on his desk, he might take a peek. Ben, how do you see this fleshing out, besides not good?
I'm a little bit nervous that they're really just trying to see what get the UFC to lowball their offer and then match it. I'm a little bit nervous. I'm actually just really nervous because that so could happen.
This time next year, is Askren in Bellator, is Askren in the UFC, or is Askren in court?
I'm going to be the optimist. I'm going to say the UFC. And fighting for a title.
I'm going to say UFC, and here's why. Because when Bjorn said, hey, I'm going to I'm not sure if Bellator wants to offer Askren a title, a new contract, he also said, hey, guys, he doesn't really bring in viewers, so I'm not sure if I want to, you know, sign him again. That's the sum of his argument. And so I think the UFC knows what his value is. I mean, they have Sean Shelby and Jay Silva? Oh, man, I can't remember his name. Joe Silva. I know it started with Joe Silva. They know how good fighters are. And if Joe Silva wants Ben Askren because he has a fantastic grappling style that would work, yeah, I think it would be lovely to see against Damian Maia. I feel like they're going to make an offer that is fair, and Bellator clearly doesn't have the interest to actually hold on to him. So go figure. He's shitting on a product that he made, you know? Like, that's as simple as that is.
Earl?
I'd say a year from now, Ben is in the UFC where he should be. He doesn't seem to me like, you know, of course, I know him not at all, but I feel like he's not content being the big fish in the small pond, and I think he's going to get there. And what they really should do, in my opinion, is just offer him Anderson Silva money right off the bat and just tell Bellator to deal with it. And, you know, it's like at some point, like, you know, I know that's a little bit like WCW-ish, you know, not to bring pro wrestling into anything, but, I mean, it has that
kind of sting. It's always welcome. It's always
good.
Especially
okay.
Nolan, it's always welcome.
No, any talk at WCW is okay with this guy, too.
Okay, good. But, I mean, if you throw a shitload of money at him and just, you know, to where Bellator can't afford to keep him, I mean, it might be worth it. Because he's going to go in there, and it's not – I really don't think Askren's going to bust, so I don't think it, you know.
But here's the thing. Do they really want a guy like Askren to be paid that much money and put him on TV all the time? Because he really doesn't have a crowd-pleasing style. I happen to love his style. I love that grinding style, but many people, most casual fans would not enjoy watching his fights.
Regardless of the competition level he's facing, he's finished a shitload more fights than George St. Pierre in recent memory. And so
wait, TKO and submission.
Mm-hmm. So I mean, really, like his style. You know,
he brutalized Amasu.
Oh my god, that was nice.
That was a vicious beatdown.
They say Koreshkov got in like the least amount of punch. Didn't he get in 3 punches in 4 rounds or something absurd like that? I know it was like the lowest punch striking output maybe, you know, since fight metric started.
Yeah, he barely outstruck Mark Munoz in the Weidman fight.
Josh, what do you think?
I mean, Askren needs to be in the UFC, and like it does seem like this might be – I think he will. But I do think Bjorn might be trying to play games, you know, with what he said. But after what he said about Askren, you know, and it wasn't the most positive of comments, I don't think that that's going to be a very good working relationship going forward. So this may turn into a situation where the UFC is able to get him because they don't want to go to court with every fighter. And I think they're more willing to let him go than to let somebody like Alvarez go.
I think that Bjorn does want to go to court with every fighter. And I look at it on the flip side. I look at it as they went through hell and high water to try to stymie Eddie Alvarez, and who was, you know, clearly not even the best lightweight on their roster, where you have Askren, who's an undefeated champion. Based on what they did with Alvarez, I find it really hard to believe he's going to be okay. C'est la vie, Ben. You know, live and let live. Have a good one. I just, like I said, based on what they did with Alvarez, who was, you know, significant. Well, not significant, but had lowered his value coming off of a pretty, you know, a great fight, but a loss to Chandler, clearly a number 2 guy in the company. I just don't see how they can, you know, throw everything that they had against the wall for Alvarez and just let Askren just. Okay, good, best of luck in your future endeavors to him. I don't know.
Then why aren't they negotiating with him if they actually genuinely want to keep him? That's a bizarre tactic to use.
I think they're playing possum.
Is jacking with the UFC really more important to them than treating their fighter right? Because if it is, they're not going to have a very happy fighter.
They've proven
that
already.
That's one of your homegrown guys.
They've proven that with Alvarez, that they're all about sticking it to the UFC. And I think right now they're playing possum. Just be, oh, you know, whatever, you know, go to. And so the UFC makes a lowball offer, and then they just come right over top and sign it up.
They'll see through that, though. They know exactly what games Bjorn might be playing. It's not like he's like 3 steps ahead of Dana White and the Fertittas and Joe Silva.
Who are you to question Dr. Claw? He's Dr. Claw. Nolan, where do you see Ben in a year?
I'm hoping UFC. But like everyone's, you know, Bjorn Rebney is famous for his squeaky clean background and business ethics. I'm gonna be optimistic and say the UFC as well. Maybe Bellator's taking too much bad PR for the Eddie Alvarez case, but you know they do have a somewhat legitimate claim to Alvarez. But I don't think they want to go through that again. MMA fans seemed to bury them when that all came about, and I could see them try to fight for him, but I'll go UFC.
Dateline Fightland: does sex sell? The article, which took quotes from Felice Herrig, sparked off a, how shall we say, shitstorm between Herrig and other female fighter Tara LaRosa. Over what is acceptable, and is it okay to show off your sex appeal as part of your overall appeal as a fighter? Ben, where's your stance on this?
Well, I mean, okay, it's really just depends on where you're coming from. Like in that, like if you want to say, oh, we should all be marketing ourselves as athletes, I get where you're coming from. I understand it, but at the same time, sex does sell, and if you need to do. And if you feel that in your mind, this is, if you want, it's your body, it's your life, and you feel that this is the way you want to do things, I totally agree with it. There's no reason not to. It's a way to make money without having to get a second job. I mean, there's no reason not to. If you feel that I want to be a pure, I want people to know me for my skill set and my fights, more power to you. If you feel that, you know what, let me get more fame, more my name in more people's mouths. This is a way to get more famous and more publicity. Then also good, you know, it makes no sense not to. So I see both sides of the argument, but personally, I think that Felice is doing, you know, doing what she should be doing to get her name out there.
They're on two opposite ends of the spectrum. I think it's fair to say, and not in a patronizing way, that Felice wants to be a sex symbol. She's never shied away from it. She embraces it. She encourages it. Nothing wrong with that at all. Tara's always been on the way other side. She started back before MMA was really even a thing, and when doctors said that women cannot fight for more than 3 minutes at a time, lest their body explodes.
Dr. Benjamin.
So there's nothing she hasn't seen. There's nothing she hasn't done, and she's always been purely about the sport. Felice is obviously a very talented fighter who also, again, embraces that. Now, who also embraces that? Ronda Rousey embraces that. Misha Tate embraces that. Even Actually, Cyborg Ronda embraces Rousey. That. So, I mean, it's the facts are out there, and the facts do say that, you know, would anybody know who Ronda Rousey is if she was, you know, not out there doing poorly designed magazine, you know, spreads? Yes. I mean, so, Connor, what do you think?
I come in on the it's your body, you're an it's an athlete's body. I mean, the ESPN has the body issue all like every year. And who doesn't think that athletes in general have fantastic bodies outside
Ben
of golf?
Has Gary Players. Ben has Gary Players spread on his wall.
I know, right?
That's Johnny Hendricks.
Nope.
Well, they do
sorry.
Look similar.
I mean, your other wall.
They do look similar.
Your private wall.
And so I just feel like I feel like it's shouldn't be an issue because they're just spreading their name. They're spreading their name out, getting better sponsorships. I don't understand why anyone would say, well, you're, you know, a whore or, you know, horrible things like that. Like, that's ridiculous. It blows my mind that anyone would actually insult because, I mean, I don't know if you know this, but Felice Herrig actually has a winning record in, you know, MMA. She's done very decently on the kickboxing scene. I mean, come on, give me a break.
She's a champion in Muay Thai.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. I mean, for all the people that you see selling sex right now and the bit in WMMA, they're pretty much all very good, if not decent, fighters. So, I mean, they can back up being sexy. They can back up being dangerous. I mean, there's no reason for anyone to talk shit about them.
Go watch the old promos that Showtime used to do for Tate's fights, for Rousey's fights. They pushed Sarah Kaufman as a sex symbol. I mean, it is what it is, as corny as that phrase is. Earl, what do you think?
I mean, I guess where I really come down on this is to each their own, man. Like, if that's what Felice wants to do, who gives a shit, really? And if that's the way Tara wants to go about it, that's her prerogative to do that as well, and that's totally fine. Either one of them doing their thing has really no impact on the other one at all. So, you know, and going to your point about the way they did the thing on Showtime, I remember watching Tate and Kunin, and in between rounds when, like, these women have, you know, fought their hearts out and they've done all this stuff, over the PA in the arena, they're playing that stupid David Guetta song, that sexy chick song or whatever. That's what they're playing in between rounds after these women are out there beating the shit out of each other, working their asses off. So, I mean, there's going to be weird stuff like that anyways. But
it's the same PA guy that does monster truck rallies.
Sunday.
You'll pay for your whole seat, but you only
need
the edge.
That way for Ronda Rousey promos. I only need the edge of my seat.
That's got chail stink written all over it.
Oh, Josh, God. As a sexy man yourself, you obviously have some intel.
Of course. Yeah. No, I mean, these guys, I'm just going to pretty much echo a lot of their sentiments that if she's comfortable with what she's doing, then by all means, do what you can to promote your career. Because what you're also doing is promoting the sport. And the bottom line is, if you take the sex appeal aspect out of women's MMA, the ladies aren't in the UFC, despite their talent. That's just simple truth. And I would much rather see these talented fighters on the biggest stage in the world, and if they use all of their abilities and including their physical appearance to do so, then more power to them. And I mean, if you don't want to do that, you shouldn't have to, but you have to be aware of the reality of the world that we live in, that that's a part of the promotion game.
It's not as if these women are bundled up, buttoned up computer programmers trying to do. They fight in the cage wearing minimal clothing. I mean, during weigh-ins, a lot of them show up in bikinis, or at least at the very least, you need to get stripped down to a sports bra and maybe like some spandex. Like, it is a sport where your body is right there. You know, it's on display. It's not doing anything other than what the world already sees you as you're doing your job. It's a very small leap between, you know, professional athlete and sex symbol. It's right there on the table. Also, Tara can be kind of a fuddy-duddy, and I don't really tend to see her side on a lot of things. She's certainly entitled to her opinion, as much as that statement bores me. But she does get a little. She seems to get into a lot of Twitter wars for a semi-retired fighter. You know, Nolan?
Last I checked, it's 2013, and no one should give a shit about this, honestly. I mean, it's your body. If you want to show off your tits and ass, cool. I mean...
I believe Rhonda said it's her tits and her asshole.
Asshole?
Yes, because that's what every guy looks for.
Oh.
Miss Rouse is a bright one, isn't she?
Have you been looking through my history again, Nolan?
What the hell? I got Connor telling me to keep a professional in the chat box and I get that.
Oh, could have been a mix-up.
Oh my god.
My whole line of thought. Yeah.
You can't look at the chat box.
Tara's entitled to her own opinion. I don't know why either one of them gives a shit about the other. I mean, I'm sure Felice Herrig knows what she's doing, and she can understand that some women are going to take umbrage with that. That they want it to be purely about the sport, and Felice wants it to be. You know, I'm sure she wants it to be about the sport too, but she also wants money. And if more fans are paying to see her, you know, take underwear pictures or whatever the fuck she does, who cares? Fucking 2013, man. Come on.
Makes you qualified to be on Total Divas, which is also Nolan's favorite show, behind Naked and Afraid. All right, let's talk power, guys. Enough talk about rectums. Let's talk power.
Dang.
Dateline, MMAJunkie.com. Junkie came out with their 25 most powerful people in an MMA issue. Sponsored by USA Today Sports and available on your local newsstand. They were, however, nice enough to release the top five to us, the plebeians. At number five, George St. Pierre. Number four, Fox Sports Media Group co-presidents Eric Shanks and Randy Freer. Number three, Anderson Silva. Number two, Joe Silva and Sean Shelby. And number one, at no surprise, UFC owners Dana White, Lorenzo and Frank Fertitta.
They actually released the whole top 10.
Well, I'm just looking at the top five, Josh.
I just wanted to make a point that Ronda Rousey is in the top 10 most influential people in MMA.
Of course she is. Ben, what do you think of the top five? Would you knock anybody out of that top five, or would you bring anybody in?
Yeah, fighters. Fighters are not going to be the top five. First of all, I don't know why they're putting three people at number one. First of all, the Fertittas have more power than Dana White, because Dana White owns a lot less of the company. He's not in charge of the money. Sorry, the Fertittas have full control. They're the money. They're the ones who fund. They're Zuffa, all right? Dana White's the UFC, and Zuffa's the parent company. Zuffa. So the Fertittas should be, and really only Lorenzo, because I don't even know what Frank does. I think he's just there. So Lorenzo.
Frank's more in charge of actually like Zuffa as a business. Lorenzo more as runs the UFC aspect of the UFC arm, if you will, Ben.
Exactly. So I'm going to put Lorenzo there and not even put Frank in there because, you know, we're talking MMA, not Zuffa. So Lorenzo's number one. Number two would be Dana. Number three, Joe Silva. Number four, Sean Shelby. And number five,
Got my finger right in the mute button if you say what I think you're going to say.
I have no idea what you think I'm going to say.
Well, then I guess we'll find out, won't we?
I honestly can't. You know what? Just a piss off loop. Ronda Rousey.
All right. Hope you guys enjoyed talking to Ben. You won't see him for the rest of the show. Connor, do you agree with the top five, or is somebody missing?
I feel like the top five is pretty solid where it's at. I think I understand why they have Dana, Frank, and Lorenzo all at the same place because they're all co-owners. Frank's in charge of the business. If you don't have the business aspect covered, you might as well not even run a business. Lorenzo is the guy that helps with the behind the scenes in both Zuffa and UFC. And on top of that, Josh just made a new fan because he's wearing an Alienware MMA shirt. So give us a good smile here, Josh. And then on top of that, Dana is the face of the UFC, honestly. Like, I mean, when you think UFC, you think bald guy screaming at you. Or fighters, depending on. Yeah, exactly. And so, I mean, number one spot is perfectly fine where I'm at. The number two spot were the matchmakers. That is so darn important. I mean, Sean Shelby is in charge of 145 and below, and includes the women's bantamweight, which has one of the most marketable stars, who I think deserves the top 10.
Damn.
Earl, not as far the as top the top five.
Not the top five. See? Not the top five. I would probably – I'm going to keep going. I would probably switch to GSP and Anderson because even with that Burger King money – I feel like GSP is more recognizable to the heartland fans of North America. So that would probably be my only issue at the top five.
Earl the Pearl.
I feel like, honestly, no fighter should be in the top five because it's a machine, it's a promotion, it's a business, it's a marketing machine, and they're just gears in the machine. Like Steve Austin once said, he's a gear in a machine. He wears out, they take it out, put a new gear in, off you go. So I don't really think any fighter belongs in the top five at all in that.
Josh?
Yeah, it's tough to have any of the fighters in the top five, but I think St. Pierre should be the top out of the fighters. I mean, Dana Lorenzo, Frank, that's your power is all at the top of the UFC, and the matchmakers are obviously right there. I think that they got the list pretty accurate. Could have had a little more Ronda Rousey for my liking. And Luke's a little slow with the mute button. Disappointing.
Damn it, I couldn't get to it in time. Son of a mother's lover. I don't know why Anderson – I have no problem with Anderson being on the list somewhere, but number three?
I mean, what power does he wield that we don't know about? I mean, I know that Anderson Silva money, but
– I mean, Anderson – the former middleweight champion, number three. I don't know what clout he has that could be bigger than Fox Sports executives or someone even like Bjorn or even like someone in Viacom.
Even Vitor has the power to book his own fights.
Really? And Vitor can probably draw. Vitor's bigger in Brazil than Anderson. So that was the only one that kind of struck me as a little strange why Anderson was number three. That was a little weird. He doesn't draw as well on pay-per-view as GSP. He doesn't do as well in his home country as Vitor. And he's not even the champ anymore. He was beaten soundly. Strange, but, besides that, like I said, I do hate to admit it, certainly, but I'll give credit where credit is due and that Ronda should be on a list somewhere because she does carry the entire women's division on her shoulders. It's because the UFC has done a horrible job at building up anybody else. It's Rousey and friends at 135. So because of the UFC's own bias and shortcoming, yes, she does have a lot of responsibility on her shoulders. Nolan?
How do you make a list of most powerful people in MMA and don't include Leonard Garcia?
Holy shit.
He has cursed power.
The wind and his fist have powered multiple turbines and kept the solar energy and wind energy programs alive.
It kept my city lit for the month of July.
him and Michael McDonald just cursed power. Anyway.
Well, you're half right.
Yeah, I don't really have much problem with this list. I believe Joe Silva and Sean Shelby got in the top 10, correct?
They were number 2, tied.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, really no problems with this list, honestly. I like the Anderson over the GSP thing because GSP seems more of a company man, and Anderson Silva is all about the Anderson Silva money. Yeah.
Who cares about the fans more, though?
Anderson cares about the fans?
Yeah, if they're giving him that Anderson Silva money.
I honestly think he gives more crap about what the fans think. That's
GSP has that drawing power, too.
The fact that he's Canadian. Take away the Canadian audience, I really don't think he'd draw that well in America.
But there's tons of Canadian fighters, and he draws above everyone else.
Because he's the champion.
Even when he wasn't.
Jose Aldo doesn't.
When he wasn't the champion, he was basically touted as the second best in the division. At
like Rory McDonald, who doesn't draw at all.
Jose's not a very good
job. Rory McDonald is still developing also. So.
But when St. Pierre was at that stage, he was already drawing.
He was the only Canadian star at that point. He was the only Canadian star, though. The only Canadian star. And that he's still the Canadian star, so really they don't need to latch on to Rory McDonald. If GSP retires and then Rory becomes champion, I do think he'll be as much of a draw in Canada as GSP just because of the fact that
it's okay. Hendricks is going to be champ anyways.
Hey, I'm on your side there.
For a
Dude,
whole
MG represent. MG represent, babe.
All right. Closing out today, last word. A very, very underrated fight between one very, very underrated fighter was booked today. Mike Pierce and Husamar Paul Harris, baby. Ben, one word to how this fight is going to go.
Decision.
Connor, one word.
Badass.
Earl, Pierce Paul Harris, one word.
God.
Josh,
one word. He said it.
Wrestling.
My one word, tenacious. Nolan.
It's gonna go Pierce.
Quick picks down the line before we sign off. Ben, go.
Pierce.
Connor.
Pierce.
Earl.
Pierce.
Josh.
Pierce.
Nolan.
Pierce.
And the good news is you all are still employed after today. Fantastic. We will see you back next week. We will have a ton of Condit Campman talk for you and any other Twitter beef that develops over now in the next 5 days. So we will see you then. Later.